Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your goodness and your power in our lives, and ask you, Lord, just to bless our time together as we look at your word today. Lord, we have a long list of folks that have great physical needs today, and pray that you would minister in their hearts and lives. We do pray for Bennett, that you would encourage he and his family today and really minister to them in this time. Think of Charles Stapleton there with cancer in Johnson City. We pray that you do a work in that life, Lord. You know the great need for Jeff, who is near death. We pray for his family, especially that you would comfort and encourage them. Pray for Scott also, who has cancer. For Jennifer, this young lady with this bleeding ulcer, we pray they might be able to stop the bleeding and heal her, Lord, and raise her up. For Diana's brother, who's sick. For Verna, she's had these surgeries now and looks like may have to have surgery again. We pray you just strengthen her and help her to heal now and have your hand upon her. For Charlie Sproles having a knee replacement tomorrow, we pray that that surgery would go well, no complications there. For Monia, she has surgery tomorrow. Here's a lady who needs to be saved, and even as the Shoops continue to talk with her, we pray she might become a child of God before her surgery, Lord. And God, spare her life, we pray. And for Maxie, she's having some heart problems. We pray that give the doctor's wisdom as they help her and might have wisdom there. For Josh with cancer, Lord, you know the great need there. And Lord, all these needs that need a touch from heaven, we pray you'd minister in each one. And bless our time now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today you're going to hear the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. Every one of you is going to hear it. As long as you stay awake, all right? Some of you will go away and the word of God will change you. Others will go away and the word of God will have no effect upon your life at all. Now, what makes the difference? What determines if the preaching and teaching of the word of God is life-changing or not? Now, obviously, the presentation is very important. And we want to make sure that as we teach and preach, that it is the Word of God. But if you're hearing the Word of God, why will one person in a row be affected and changed and the next person will not? Well, let's think of some things. Could it be an intellectual problem? Well, it could be, but probably not. We're not too deep around here, and most of the time you can understand. Could it be a background issue? Well, it's possible. Could it be different spiritual needs? That's possible too. But the key to this whole thing is how you receive the Word of God. The Word of God is taught and it is preached. The difference is how it's received. If you receive it the right way. If you receive the Word of God correctly, it will change your life. If you don't receive the Word of God correctly, it won't change your life. Now, if that is true, then how you receive the Word of God is very important. It'd be interesting to stop for a moment and figure out how many services, how many preaching and teaching services all of us have been to in our life. Thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of sermons and lessons we've heard. How many of them have changed your life? How many have had an effect on you? Now, sometimes, undoubtedly, it is the fault of the speaker. And if you want to blame it on me, that's fine, especially this morning. I'm not quite sure where I am this morning, but I think I'm at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Paul is writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we get down to verse 13 or 14, and he is giving thanks for the way they had received the Word of God. And he said, when you received the Word of God, it changed you. So what we want to see is, how did they receive it? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to just come to church. I mean, I just don't want to come and listen to somebody preach the Word of God and say, oh, that was fine. I want to go away changed. Now, I'm not necessarily opposed. And I think maybe even at this new church over here, it says, come as you are. Well, I guess that's okay. But we shouldn't go away the same way we came. The Word of God should change us. And by the way, every time you hear the Word of God, there is an important transaction going on. And as God speaks to your heart, you are either becoming better or you're hardening your heart. You know, we are a blessed people that we hear the Word of God week in and week out and week in and week out. Now, that's a good thing if you're receiving it correctly. It was interesting, and I'm getting off of some rabbit trails here, but several years ago, in fact, probably 25 years ago, I was teaching the college and career class, and I had two very separate groups in that class. One of them were young people who'd been raised in our church. And I'll be honest with you, at that time, they were in general rather hard. And there was a new group that came in, and they were new to our church. And all these things they were hearing were new to them, and it was like, oh, wow, yeah. And the problem was, folks, you can't hear the Word of God week in and week out and week in and be unchanged. You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. And the way we receive the Word of God is really important. So Paul says to these people in verse 14, he says, for ye brethren became followers. Let me back up, to verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because, now here's the key, ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So here's our first main point this morning. And he's praising their reception of the gospel. Now, you see two very obvious ways to receive it. What are they? He said, you didn't receive it one way, you received another way. What are the two ways? The word of man or the word of God. Now, men can say some good things, but the problem with what men say is that men are fallible. Now, I'm not sure how it happened, but when I got home, I heard I'd been in the hospital in Brazil. And I didn't know that. I was sick, and hopefully on the mend. I really was sick when I left. Had this same stuff many of you have had. And probably working in the rain on the roof didn't help things. But we were there to work, not to lay around. And so I got to experience socialized medicine firsthand. I think Wednesday, Graham took me to the socialized medicine clinic, and it's exactly what you would envision. This drab, dirty building with people and more people sitting up and down the hallways waiting. Well, because I was an American, I was supposed to go to the front of the line. An hour and a half later, I saw the doctor, and there was no voodoo or anything, or chants, or lighting of candles, or anything. It wasn't quite that bad. But I go in to see the doctor. Of course, Graham is translating. I'm still not sure what was wrong with me because it was all in Portuguese, so I really don't know. But he asked me some questions and, you know, about my head and my chest and all these things. And I tell him, so he sends me down the hallway for x-rays. And, you know, it's quite a setup. They got this big, huge metal door, you know, I'm thinking, this is not good. And so I go in there and this guy takes x-rays to my chest and he brings a chair in there and I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do with this chair? And I thought, he kind of motioned. I thought he wanted me to stand on the chair. So here I am. And, you know, I'm thinking, this is kind of silly. I'm getting up on the chair. And he said, no, get here. He wanted me to sit in the chair. Well, I can't understand Portuguese. So they did a head x-ray. And, you know, it's really quite a circus. So we go back to the doctor, the x-ray. He looks, you know, holds him up to the light, you know. And, never took my temperature, blood pressure. He did listen to my chest and gave me all these prescriptions, said, go down to the pharmacy and get your medicine. Of course, you know what happened. I got the pharmacy where all you have all the free medicine, no medicine. And so we went and took really a nice pharmacy and got some good medicine and things and really feeling a whole lot better. Some really good medicine. And But the whole point of that story was I was not in the hospital. People say things. It was a clinic of some sort. You know, you may trust what people say, you may not. How many of you ever got in trouble because you trusted what somebody said? Yeah, every one of you in the room, okay? Now, look, if it's the word of men, when somebody gets up to preach and speak, if it's the word of men, you can say, well, you know what? That's your opinion. I don't really have to do that. It's just the word of men. And sometimes as preachers and teachers, we do that. But folks, he said, you didn't receive it as the word of men. You received it as the word of God. Let me ask you a question. When God's word is taught and preached, do you say, this is from God? This is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is a verse you know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if it's given by God, therefore it is God's word. Now, Paul said, the reason that you folks did so well, and I'm praising God for you, is because when you heard the word of God, you received it as the word of God. Not some man's opinions, not some man's thoughts. If Mark Larkey comes and tells me, look, Gary, I think you ought to invest in this, I may do it, I may not. This man's opinion. You He's done pretty well for himself. I think I should. But listen, folks, when somebody gets up in front of you and says, thus saith the Lord, and they faithfully expound the word of God, we need to say, you know what? This is from God. Now, if it's from God, we can't say, well, that's just their opinion, you know. I don't know. I hope it's right. In 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:21, he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We need to get to the point in our life, folks, when we come to church, when you read the Word of God, when you hear it taught, that we have the firm conviction that we are hearing God's Word, that God is speaking to us. And you've heard pastors say that quite often, that when the Word of God is taught or preached, that God is speaking to you. Is that how you receive the Word of God? Or is it a matter of endurance? Boy, I have to endure another lesson. Have to endure another sermon. Well, you know, that's good for the guy sitting three rows behind me, but it's not good for me. Now look, folks, if that's your attitude, the Word of God will never change you. It'll never change you. You've got to receive it as the Word of God. And Paul said, I am rejoicing constantly because when you guys heard the Word of God being preached, you accepted it as the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Is this book true or not? This is the truth. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now look, folks, if it's the truth, yes, you can take it or leave it, but boy, there's a high price to pay. And you need to realize when someone faithfully teaches and preaches the Word of God, that you need to receive it as the Word of God. All right, have I made my point? Okay? Now, if we don't receive it as the Word of God, then we're not going to be changed by it. Then it's opinion. Then we can take it or leave it. Paul said, I am praising you because, and giving thanks to God for you, because when you received the Word of God, you received it as the Word of God, not just some man's words. Now let's move on in the passage. And he says, end of verse 13, but as it is, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now let's think about that last phrase. He said, you received it as God's word, and because of that, it is working in you effectually. Effectually. Now, whose heart does the word of God work in, according to that verse? Those that believe. Those that accept it by faith. I've always liked the term believer. I like that term. How do you get saved? By faith. You become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm wondering if sometimes Christians we ought to be called doubters and not believers. But he said, look, if you want the word of God to change your life, you must believe it and receive it. Now I want you to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll be back to 1 Thessalonians in a moment. And this is a very familiar passage to you. James chapter 1, verse 21. And he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He says, all right, you need to receive the word of God correctly. Now, how do you do that? But be ye, what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look, he said, if you just hear the word and don't do it, you're deceived. You're self-deceived. Well, I came to church, I heard it, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. We're not okay until we do it. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. A mirror. How many looked in the mirror this morning? Oh, come on. Raise your hands, you bunch of liars. I bet every one of you looked in the mirror this morning. How many liked what you saw? There you go. Yeah, well, yeah, same family. That's okay. I understand that. All right. Why did you look in the mirror? Just so you could stop for a moment and say, wow. Right? Probably not. Why'd you look in the mirror? See if it got any worse. See if there's anything you do about it. Right? Many of you spent a long time in front of the mirror this morning, and that's all right. We're glad you did. That's a good thing. But the whole purpose of the mirror is to show us what we are. And wouldn't it be silly to go look in the mirror and you see your face is all dirty and all messed up and you just don't think about it and say, well, yeah, it's dirty, so what? Isn't that what we do, though, when we hear the word of God and we don't change? We hear it, we say, oh, yeah, who cares? And we go out the same way we came in. He said, don't do that. He said, you need to be doers and not hearers. Look at verse 25. Said, but whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth in therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What is he saying, folks? The people that the word of God changes are people who believe it and accept it and do it and do it. Is that you? He said it's the believers that are changed by the word of God. And back in 1 Thessalonians, it's an interesting word there. That word effectually is the word energeo or energetic. And what he's saying is when we believe the word of God and we receive the word of God, it is energetic in changing us. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. And what does that word quick mean? It's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's he saying? This book is powerful, and it's changing you, and will make you what God wants you to be if you receive it the right way. Let me ask you a question. If you took a spiritual survey today and compared yourself to how you were spiritually a year ago, how would you rate? ...365 days have gone by. You've heard 52 weeks of sermons. Has the Word of God been energetic in your life? Has it been effectual? Has it been changing you? You know, it's amazing to me. There's not one of us in this room that would buy a product and use it for a year and it be totally ineffective. And we would just keep using it and just keep using it and say, oh, that's no big deal. It's all right. And we just keep spending our money. But that's how we live as believers. And we have the Word of God, and we go to church, and we're not changed, and we just keep going, and we're not changed, and we're the same today as we were 20 years ago spiritually, and we're just really content, and we're really happy with that. Why is that? If I spent $500 this year on Hair Restore, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. I did. And you think I'd do it again next year? No, I hope not, Rachel. I hope not. I mean, I may be stupid, but I'm not dumb. I mean, you know. And yet, isn't that how we live our spiritual life? We go through our Christian life, and we're the same today as we were yesterday and the day before, and we're not growing, we're not being changed. Why is it? We're not receiving the Word of God correctly. And folks, it's about time that we as believers in America stop being satisfied with the status quo and say, Lord, I want to be different. I want to be changed. Don't you want to be changed? I mean, aren't you tired of just kind of slogging along in the Christian life? Well, I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven. I'm so excited about it. Folks, this is the key. It's how you receive the Word of God. Well, that's exactly right. Are you receiving it? Are you accepting it? Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is a passage we've talked about a lot. What does Romans 12:2 say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is to be changed. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What's the glass? The Word of God. And we see who God is. We see the glory of God. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Is that process happening in your life today? Well, I'm a believer. I go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, we're glad to have you. But hallelujah, folks, we ought to be being changed to becoming more like Christ all the time. And that only happens as you get in the book and you listen to the book and you believe the book and you treat it as the Word of God. It's time for us to quit saying, that's good for the guy three rows behind me. No, it's good for you. And we need to be changed. I need to be changed. And folks, every day of our Christian life, our goal should be to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is only going to happen if you have a right response to the Word of God. Now, the amazing thing in this passage is, Paul's going to go on now in verse 15, 14, 15, and 16, and tell us how he knows that they received the Word of God correctly. And if you had not read ahead, if you don't read ahead, you'll be shocked at how he knew they'd received the Word of God correctly. Let's just look at it. He says, for ye brethren, verse 14, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffered like things of our own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, I know that's a little confusing, but let me ask you a question. How did Paul know that they had received the Word of God correctly? Because they were being persecuted. I don't get it. How does that show, all right, they're being persecuted? How does that show that they received the Word of God correctly? Who does the world persecute? Those that are different. Paul said, the reason I know that you received the word of God correctly is because it made you go against the course of the world, and they persecuted you because of it. The Bible verse does not say, most that live godly shall suffer persecution. Now, I'm not saying, look, be an idiot and go out and slug somebody and tell them they need to get saved and beat them up so you'll be persecuted. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is live for the Lord. If you take an out and out stand for the Lord, you will be persecuted. And what Paul is saying is, you folks have been persecuted for your faith, and the reason they're persecuting you is because your faith is real. If it hadn't been real, they wouldn't be persecuting you. If you lived just like the world, if I were to ask you and say, look, how do they treat you at work? Well, they treat me just fine. I mean, don't they persecute you because you're a Christian? Oh, they don't even know. We've got a real problem. You see, folks, real faith leads to a changed life, which will lead to persecution. And when they were persecuted, they kept going for the Lord. Look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 19. Matthew 13, of course, kingdom parables. We have a parable before us, the sower and the seed. And notice in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Oh, this is good stuff. Here's someone, first guy, man, they heard the word of God, didn't even faze them. Second guy, he receives it with joy. He comes forward shouting, hallelujah, this is good stuff. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. What happens? He drops out. It was superficial, it wasn't real. For a believer, folks, that has a changed life and they're persecuted and they go on for the Lord and they keep on going for the Lord and they keep on going for the Lord, Paul said, you've got something that's real. You've received the word of God properly. And because of that, you're being persecuted for it. He goes on in this passage and he talks about the fact that they had persecuted Paul. They had run him off. These Jews had persecuted the church. They were keeping other people from hearing the gospel. They were wicked people. They were doing a work of God, a work for the devil. Their cup of sin was being filled up. There was going to come a day when God was going to punish them. Of course, the Jews have been under God's hand for really centuries, and during the Great Tribulation will be their final time. But he said, these folks are persecuting and they're doing bad things, but you folks have kept going, you've kept going, you've kept going because you received the word of God the right way. Now, let me ask you a question. Brother Bob is preaching this morning. A preacher last week was supposed to preach and he is sick. It's catching everybody. Now, his is vertigo. He's really struggling. You're going to hear the preaching of the word of God, okay? Now, how are you going to receive it? Lord willing, I'll be preaching tonight on Enoch, the man who pleased God. This message has been percolating for months in my mind, and God's been speaking to me about it. And you're going to hear, hopefully, the word of God being preached. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to receive it? How are you going to receive it? Proper reception leads to a changed life. And folks, what we need to be saying when we hear God's word being taught and preached is, Lord, Yes, Lord. Yes, I will obey. I will obey. I will obey. Whatever, Lord, you say to me, I will obey. And we need to receive it and allow it to change our lives. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that the Word of God changed your life? I mean, you heard somebody teach the Word of God or preach the Word of God, and you said, wow, that's me. And you made definite changes in your life. Maybe quit doing some things. Maybe started doing some other things. Now, folks, if the Word of God is not changing your life, then you're becoming a Pharisee and a hypocrite, and your state is worse than if you'd never heard the truth. You know, there is great obligation to hearing the truth week in, week out. There is great obligation. And I'm afraid that we if we're not careful, we become a bunch of fat, sassy, overfed Christians that are doing nothing for God. And we're not being changed. I challenge you today, as you hear the Word of God, receive it, not as men's words, but as God's Word. Receive it as God's Word. And let it change your life. Let it change the way you talk. Let it change the way you walk. The way I felt this last week. Let it change the way you squawk, okay? Folks, let it change your life. Otherwise, what are we doing? What are we doing? We need to be like the Thessalonian believers, folks. And when the Word of God was preached, they received it as the Word of God, and it changed their lives. And that's what God wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do for me. He wants to make us like Christ. Lord, we thank you for this example in the Word of God of some folks that properly received the Word of God. Now, Lord, you know the need of every person in this room. Undoubtedly, there are some in here who have heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth, but they've not received it by faith. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to be doers and not just hearers. Lord, help us as we hear the Word of God to be changed, to obey, to do what you want us to do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.